There are no numerals in the Bible. Every Hebrew letter gets assigned a value. He is literally creating the mathematical structure of what we look at in science and quantum physics. So literally speaking the world into existence by his word creates the mathematical structure of creation. Since numbers and letters are interchangeable when God speaks, what is he doing? He's coding creation. And when man sins, it's like a virus in the system that causes it to crash. This was a stronghold. It was a place controlled by the Philistines that Israel always struggled to be able to control. And it's in a few of these places, as we see, the Anakim, the descendants of the Nephilim, were never defeated. The territorial spirit that was there was never conquered, was never fully removed, that was still in existence even to this day. It's a demonic Nephilim spirit, the spirit of the Anakim, that was behind the October 7th attack and everything that is going on there in Gaza.
So from what you're saying, I'm kind of picking up that if Joshua and the Israelites, if they would have actually vanquished those and not let them stay in Gaza and Ashdod and Ashkelon, is that correct? Third one that you said, then we wouldn't be having these issues today, at least in these areas.
Yeah, because it's kind of like the other example of that that's clear is, think about it. God told King Saul, wipe out the Amalekites. Mm-hmm. Saul disobeys, doesn't wipe out the Amalekites. That was the final straw. God sends the prophet Samuel to him and says, listen, the kingdom has been taken from you and given to another. God prefers, you know, it's better to obey than to sacrifice.
Right,
well,
right.
Why was God so upset? Like, we look at some people, like some secular, some individuals will look at it and say, oh, look how God is telling Saul to commit genocide and look how evil the Bible is. Okay, until you understand that God has a reason for all these things, mm-hmm. that it's not just because God wants into violence or wanting, no, he loves his children. But to understand the wickedness and the evil, because God knows the end of the beginning. Why does God want the Amalekites destroyed? The Amalekites are connected to Amalek. Mm-hmm. Amalek is the first person to attack Israel when they come out of Egypt. And Haman in the book of Esther is a descendant of Amalek, and he's the first person to try and commit actual genocide against God's chosen people. So because Saul did not listen, the descendants of the Amalekites remained, and in future generation, Haman arose because of Saul's disobedience and was going to try and wipe out the entirety of the Jewish people and commit genocide in the Persian Empire. It's the same thing, right? If they would have destroyed the Canaanites and especially the Anakim in the land, then, okay, that the spirit could have been deposed and things would be different, I believe. Now, what's interesting is this as well, back to the numbers and how it ties into today. So the sons of Anak in Hebrew, B'nai Anak, all those letters equal up to 282. Why is that important? Arab equals 282 in Hebrew. So the modern day Anakim who are tied to the Philistines are the Palestinians. Now, again, I'm not saying the Palestinians are demonic. I want to be clear. What I'm saying is that there is a spirit behind the terrorist groups
Yes.
among the Palestinians. It's that same spirit of the sons of Anak, okay, that's represented in the modern day Palestinian terrorists who happen to be Arab there, both equaling 282. Hebrew equals 282. Like Abraham is a Hebrew, 282. The word for help or aid in Hebrew equals 282. And one more thing that is important that equals 282 is the Hebrew word zerah. So the first, what does that mean? Zerah means seed. So the first messianic prophecy in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. But it says that the seed of the serpent would continue throughout the generations to attack the heel, but the seed of the woman would ultimately crush the head. So it's talking about the battle between the seed in, throughout the generations. Well, seed equals, the promised seed equals 282. So what's the point? The seed 282 of the serpent will try and kill the Hebrew seed 282 of the woman, but the true seed 282, the Messiah, will help 282 win the victory and bring the overthrow of the Nephilim, the demonic forces, and ultimately usher in a day of peace.
I want to take a little bit of a side trail because you've mentioned this 282, the 220. That's going to confuse a lot of people. I want to is this called gematria? Is that correct?
Gematria.
Can you, for our Western minds, where we have 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, like we use numbers for representation of the numerical value of things. But in Hebrew, it is based off of the letters. You were talking about that, but help us understand about adding these words together, adding these letters together to get numbers and what those mean when they correlate. And just help us understand that, because in the Western mindset, and rather the Greek mindset, I guess, it's kind of lost, or maybe it's obvious or absconded for reasons, because that's something that's hidden from us. Help us understand that.
Yeah. So let's just, and that's a good point. So I should have probably prefaced it a little bit better. But so let me back up for a second and talk about why I think it's important.
Yeah, please.
So, for example, if you were to go into a university and you were to try and make a case for the creation account of the Bible, people would probably look at you and say, are you out of your mind? Like, are you like backwards? Like, we are a scientific academic institution. The ancients who wrote the scripture, they had no idea of physics and of science and mathematics on the level that we do today. And so therefore, you know, they did the best they could, but they were ignorant. So but today we know better, and therefore there's no way we could believe the biblical account that God spoke the world into existence. That was their pre-scientific lack of understanding, but today we're more educated and we can't take these things seriously. Here's a crazy thing. We do know that the world has a mathematical structure, that math is the language of science and of creation, and even music is mathematical for that matter. But here's the interesting thing. If letters and numbers are interchangeable, because in Hebrew, as we said, as well as in Greek, but especially in Hebrew, there are no numerals in the Bible. They do not exist. You will not find a number one in a Hebrew Bible or a Roman numeral two in the Bible. So what that means is that Hebrew is alphanumeric. So what that means is that every Hebrew letter gets assigned a value from 1 to 400, and the combination of those letters create the numbers. So if I said, open up to chapter 14, I'd say open up to Yud Dalet. Why? Because Yud is the numerical value of 10, and Dalet is the numerical value of 4, 10 plus 4, equals 14. So that's how it works. But why is this important? Going back to what we said, because if Hebrew is alphanumeric and God creates the heavens and the earth, and the Bible says all things are held together by his word, and God spoke the world into existence, when he creates heaven, his word creates the spiritual DNA of the spiritual universe that we're in. That's why life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's why prayer and declarations are so important. That's why when Jesus comes back, well, when Jesus was in the Garden of Eden, well, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they went to arrest him, he spoke, words came out of his mouth and they went flying back. Mm-hmm. In the book of Revelation, it's pictured as a sword coming out of his mouth. It's showing the power spiritually of words and of the mouth. On the other hand, he also creates the earth, the physical reality in which we live in. Well, if letters and numbers are interchangeable, when God speaks, he's actually coding creation. By him speaking, the words that have a numerical value assigned to it, he is literally creating the mathematical structure of what we look at in science and quantum physics. So literally speaking the world into existence by his word creates the mathematical structure of creation. So therefore, since numbers and letters are interchangeable, when God speaks, what is he doing? He's coding creation. And when man sins, it's like a virus in the system that causes it to crash.
I'm following along with this. So each of these words that we have, if you take the Hebrew word of it, they have specific meanings, specific values, rather.
Right.
And so then how do those correlate to other Hebrew words? Because you were talking about, you know, numbers, these words different have the same numbers to it. And so there's a value related to that.
Yeah. So let's back up for example, give you a great example. So the Hebrew word for love is the Hebrew word ahava. A in Hebrew, aleph, is one. Okay. H in Hebrew is hey, is five. The V is the bait, which is two, and the H is five. So you add up the letters, the four letters in Ahava, and you get the 13. Why is that significant? Because when there are other words that share the same numerical value, there's usually a connection between them on some level. Because there's a reason why they share a new numeric value. Oftentimes, there's a correlation between the two. So, for example, love equals 13, but you know what else equals 13? The word echad, to be one. So man and woman become one flesh, echad. How do they become one? 13, through love, 13. Okay? So oneness or love is about oneness. It's about becoming one. And then you look at something, and if you want to look at it and think about it more, you could say, well, what's the love chapter in the Bible?
1 Corinthians 13.
And how many verses does it have?
13.
13 verses, right? Now, there were no original chapters and verses in the original Greek text, so I just want to be clear. But I don't think it's any accident that God knows the end from the beginning, that the numerical value of the word for love happens to be the chapter 13 that talks about love with 13 verses, and it's about oneness as well. So we can look and we can see these connections when it comes with numbers. And if we live in a mathematical universe where numbers are important, this is what I was trying to say earlier, then there's a numerical value in the Bible that should be important as well. Now, I want to be clear. We don't derive theology off of this.
Okay.
But the connections are illustrative and give deeper insight. So example, when we know the Bible tells us clearly that the Nephilim and the Anakim are related, and then the numerical value happens to be the same for Anak and Nephilim, that's no coincidence. That's showing us on another level that there is a connection, that there's something more that we need to look at.